When I was growing up, we used to play this game. When we would play, it was easy to think about what life would be like. You'd want the cool job with the nice salary. You would get married and buy that big house. It was all about what you could get. Lots of kids, lots of life experiences, and lots of paydays. And the goal was to get all you could get and retire rich. The sad thing is, this is what most people think life is all about. What if the game was different? What if you won, not just by getting, but giving? By helping someone when they need it most, or just lending a hand because you can? What if it wasn't about having the best house or the best job, but using what God has given to truly make a difference in the lives of others? Maybe if we stopped looking at life as a game to win, measured by our bank accounts or the things we have, we would truly know what it means to live.
Walking through our Live to Give series, and I hope you've enjoyed hearing from some of your pastors. You're going to continue to hear from some of your pastors in the next 2 weeks. Pastor Ryan is going to be giving the message. And speaking of Pastor Ryan being here, Pastor Billy is down with our Sunbury campus. Welcome in our Sunbury campus. Thank you for joining us. And no matter where you're watching, we know some of you are watching from across the globe. We just thank you for tuning in for this day of celebration. I almost titled this message because I love that when we study or when we celebrate what God has done, we really celebrate the generosity of so many, the generosity of you as a church, the generosity of our staff. And I almost titled this The Evidence of Generosity, because we're going to hear a lot of cool things, a lot of cool numbers. I hope you're challenged by what you hear today. But before we go further, I'm going to be sharing some scripture that's not in what you got. It's not in the annual report. So since I'm going to be studying scripture and I'm going to preach a little bit before I get into this. And so I'm just going to stop for a moment. Father, thank you for gathering us here again. I just pray that right now that all distractions would be out of this room, or no matter where we're watching, that these words would be yours and they would fall on hearts and minds open to experiencing your incredible love today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah, so before I get to this incredible report, I want to share with you why we have the mission of sharing the light of Jesus Christ with our world. It hasn't changed in years. And over this past year, I haven't changed the mission because I love the mission of sharing the light of Jesus Christ with our world. And this is why we have that as our mission statement. It's because light shines brightest in darkness. And actually, darkness cannot exist where light exists. And Jesus says, you're the light. We're the light to this world. And so it makes me wonder, when we see the darkness and the evil going around in this world, there's always going to be evil. But when we see darkness coming here to America, and there's some of us say, oh my gosh, America is going in the pit. America is so dark. We need to start asking the question, why? Why do we think it's so dark? Well, remember, darkness can't exist where light exists. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, if you have your Bibles, no matter where you're at, you can turn to that, but take your time, but also hurry up. I've only got 30 minutes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You can write that down and maybe mark it in your Bibles a little bit later. Jesus says this at the front end of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's telling his believers, essentially he's telling the church, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They see your life, they see your joy, they see your hope, they see your love, and that points them to Jesus, the light. So when we live in the light, we live a life that glorifies Jesus, and not only that, brings people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our faith, our actions, our faith, our works, they work hand in hand. But the challenge that Jesus is giving here is, listen, you lights, you Jesus followers, go to the dark, because you're gonna shine brightest there in the darkness. And I see this as a challenge, that when we go, when Jesus gives this mission for us to go, and I don't mean just go across the world. If God is calling you to that, great, you need to follow him. If he's calling you to mission work, great, you need to do it. But also, he could call you to be the light in a grocery store. And you know the worst thing that grocery stores have done to us believers trying to share the light, do you know what it is? It's when they installed automatic checkouts. Because what do when we go into a store? Well, for us guys, we know what we want. We go there and we get out. You women, you have to do, well, I see this many times with Nikki. I'm like, is that on your list? Well, no, but I'm like, okay. But when I go, it's like 5 minutes, boom, in and out. That's just us guys. But what happens is sometimes we get in so much of a hurry in today's world that the automatic checkouts have taken away the personal interaction that I believe Jesus wants us to have. So we need to pray. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I use those automatic checkouts. But I always, before I go into a store, into a restaurant, I always just say, God, how can you use me here? And there might be times where he might call me to that cashier and check out too. But because of maybe who I am sometimes, and I want to get in and out, I go through the automatic checkout and I miss what God is wanting me to do to share the light that I have with people. This busyness that we have, we need to be careful, because we can walk right by our mission. We can walk right by an opportunity to be the light. So that's why CWC has a mission statement of sharing the light of Jesus Christ with our world. And to go further, my life and ministry verse really are the same. And it comes from 1 Samuel 16:7. You see it on the screen. And this is also in what you got in coming in your book. The Lord does not look at the things the people look at. The people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Life sometimes, and I would probably argue and say, life is mostly about our perspective and our mindset. And in my life and ministry, I strive to have the mind of Christ so that I can reach the world for Christ. And 1 Samuel 16:7, it reflects that mindset I desire to have. And let me bring in some context for you. In 1 Samuel 16, if you were to read this, we read about the prophet Samuel. Now, a prophet is somebody who is sent by God, given a message, and that message would be given to a person like Samuel, a prophet, and he would be the mouthpiece to the people, because the people came to Moses and said, hey, listen, it's too hard for us to hear from God. It's just too much. And so God said, okay, I'll speak to a person to be a mouthpiece. And that's how the prophets were birthed. And one of those prophets is Samuel. And Samuel was choosing the next king of Israel. Because the first king of Israel, when the Israelites went to God and say, listen, we want a king. And God's like, okay, I want to be your king. But okay, if you demand, I'll give you a king. And then King Saul came about. And throughout time, King Saul got a very wicked heart. And his heart turned away from the mission of God. And so God says, listen, I'm going to take care of Saul. Samuel, I want you to go, and I want you to anoint the next king of Israel. And the scripture says, God said this to Samuel, I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one that I indicate. You know, I find it interesting that God didn't say right then, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the house of Jesse. He did tell him exactly where to go, but he didn't tell him specifics. And so he didn't say, you're going to think it's Eliab, the oldest son, because he's going to look the part. He's going to look like a warrior. He's going to be strong. He's going to be handsome. But don't choose him when you get there. Don't do that. It's actually somebody who you're not even going to see. His name is David. He's going to be out in the field. He's a shepherd. Jesse didn't think he was good enough or old enough to be anointed king. It couldn't be him, but it's going to be him. God didn't say that right off the bat because he said, you just need to go and then be in tune with what I will tell you when you get there. Sometimes God doesn't give us specifics of what he wants us to do. He can tell us where to go if we're in tune with his spirit, but he doesn't give us the exact specifications sometimes of his mission until we as people take the step and to go. And then he says, just listen, I will let you know what you need to do when you get there. And so he's saying this to Samuel. And then what happened? Samuel almost chose the wrong person. He said, surely Eliab is the man. But then God says this, it's not Eliab. He's not the one I've chosen. I don't look at the outward appearance. So quit doing that. I look at the heart. And then Samuel's like, hey, Jesse, you have any more sons that I'm not seeing? Because I'm not getting a good vibe from any of these sons. And Jesse said, yeah, I do. I have my youngest son, but he's a shepherd. He's out in the fields. He's tending to the flock. And Samuel said, go get him. And when David was brought before Samuel, Samuel said, yep, God says to anoint this one. You see, when life and ministry aren't about the outward appearance, how somebody may look, past mistakes, past things, maybe they've even said to you, yes, there needs to be boundaries, but we can't let personal appearance keep us from the mission of God. I wanted to prove this point today by wearing a t-shirt and a hat to preach to you. But I'm afraid of some of you. I'm afraid of the emails I would get. How could you preach in a hat? And I say, man, where's that in the scriptures? Don't worry, I'm just here to bust your traditions. That's all I'm here for. I'm just kidding, I'm not. But I do want to say, when our perspective shifts to being people after God's own heart, when it doesn't matter what somebody looks like, maybe even what addiction they're going through, doesn't matter. We need to go there. We need to be the light in the darkness. We can't be afraid of the darkness because maybe how it would appear to maybe society or ourselves or even the church. We need to go and shine the light of Jesus Christ. And I love the consistency of God. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus just continues to harp on the teachers of the law and Pharisees. I just find it fascinating. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 26, Jesus says this, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Isn't it funny? A lot of people want to think Jesus was just love, 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 love all the time. Nope, not towards the Pharisees or teachers of the law. You all should know better, he says, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. You see the focus Jesus wants us to shift to? It's about the heart. We need to get people's hearts to change them, not be distracted about any outward appearance. And then in verse 28, he says, in the same way, Jesus says, on the outside you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. See, it's about our heart. It's about aligning our hearts with what Jesus wants from us. So as I read the rest of my annual report, I hope you don't hear numbers. I hope you hear the evidence of a congregation who is after God's own heart. I hope you don't hear me brag on our team, but I hope you hear the hearts of incredible servants who are after God's own heart. You know, if I could use a word to sum up this past year, that word, surprise, surprise, would be transition. If you've been with CWC for more than a year, you would know that's probably the proper word because we've seen plenty of transition this past year. And really, from an outside perspective and maybe even the logistics of a transition like we had, it could have led to a decline in attendance. It could have led to some staff turnover. And guess what? It's done neither. We've chosen to look beyond what the statistics could say to a deeper calling behind it all as a church. And God has done amazing things. You know, in fact, I was talking with an organization, and the guy who's part of an organization who has walked through and seen many transitions and is a part of a lot of church lives. And when it was described of what God is doing here in this transition year, he said, what's happening here is unheard of. What's happening here is unheard of when talking about the life of this church after a transition. And it's just a testament to you, to Pastor Arlie, who listens to the Spirit. And Pastor Arlie, you're here with us in the congregation. I know you can't see him if you're online, but he's here this service. You shared your final report last year. And this year, I'm sharing my first annual report as the lead pastor. But Pastor Arlie, I hope to continue the effectiveness of the gospel you so faithfully spread throughout Milton, the Susquehanna Valley, the country, and beyond. All of us here at Christ Wesleyan, we're so grateful for you and Sharon. So I thank you for the opportunity and your belief. And for the next few minutes, I want to share with you the amazing year. And if you're a visitor here and this is your first time here with us today, I hope that you're inspired to become part of this great congregation. If you have been attending for years, I hope you're encouraged and affirmed as a congregant and participant of this transformative work of God we've seen over the past year. You know, we were able to end the year with some amazing church health statistics. We were able to see 205 people come to Christ because of our ministries and how you're walking in your life. 205 people's lives transformed by the gospel. Did you know that's the purpose of coming to church, is to get filled up so we can go outside and see 205 people and beyond transformed? I hope that doesn't get old for you, because a lot of churches, actually most churches in America, see zero people to come to Christ. And I don't know what they think their mission is or their purpose is, but 205 is pretty incredible. Speaking of amazing, we're able to give away almost $710,000 to local, national, and global missions, as well as crisis situations. That's a lot of money to be just given away to people who are in need. And I'm grateful for you for giving that. So I'm going to applaud you. We're able to set a record high of 2,162 active volunteer opportunities. Thank you for volunteering. We couldn't do it without you, volunteers. Also, in this lead pastor transition, as we said, we usually expect a decrease in attendance and tithe. But you as a congregation gave around the same total of tithe this past year in your giving. This is amazing. And a testament to your incredible faithfulness. Our attendance with the addition of Recovery Church was able to increase to our highest total weekend attendance ever at 1,812 people. I mean, that's pretty incredible. We're not really near a big city, so it's pretty incredible. We also saw 49 people get baptized this past year. You know, you look at these things, you just think, God is good. He gets all the glory. And you can be proud of a dedicated staff who have sacrificed their time, talents, and resources to further our reach of sharing the light of Jesus. Like I tell our Christ Wesleyan team, if we fail, it's my fault. But if we succeed, it's your fault. And let me tell you, in way too few of words, about the successful kingdom-building staff we have here at Christ Wesleyan who decided to stay after such a transition. And I thank the team for that. Pastor Ryan Brocious, 12 years here, leads our executive department as our newly appointed executive pastor. He also serves as our Sunbury campus pastor. And I couldn't be more grateful for the way, Pastor Ryan, that you've transitioned from an incredible career as our worship pastor. He leads a department that serves our whole team in various ways. Our tech team made up of Gary Young, Nate Hart, Josh Murray, and Caleb Rathmo. They provide an excellent knowledge and skill to create some incredible environments across all of our campuses. Mary Tyler serves as our communication director, and our CWC Now email, which Mary sends out, has an amazing 1,826 subscribers. Do you know what's crazy though? Not even half open that email. So come on, people. If you want to know what's going on, subscribe and actually open and read what's going on here. It's an incredible, it's like a virtual bulletin, if you will. Tabitha Gessner serves in many ways, but her main role is to head up our connections process as our connections director. In the area of our Christ Wesleyan Theater Productions, Pastor Ryan oversees more than 60 production volunteers and actors and actresses. So to the 254 volunteers who serve with Pastor Ryan and his team, thank you for giving of your time, your talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. Pastor Ken Paul Hamus, 21 years as our administrative department pastor and our congregational care pastor as well. Under direction of Alyssa and Jeremy Wolf, our food pantry was able to give out over 158,000 pounds of food to local families in need. How awesome is that? And it's because of your giving, too, that we can allow that to happen. Also serving in our administrative department are Chad Heisey, who serves as our finance director, as well as Annabelle Dietrich, who serves as our HR and finance assistant director. Serving in our information services is Mike Wright, with the assistance of Ryan Lahr, who just resigned after 3 years of ministry here. Mike and Ryan have served excellently this past year. Caleb Bainey provides excellent and skillful oversight of our facilities. And keeping our beautiful facility in tip-top shape, I mean, isn't our facility just incredible? When you came in here, you didn't have to get your own seat. Your seat was here. Isn't that's great, right? And so we need to give thanks to these people who keep our facility incredible. And when you go into the bathroom, they're nice. Archie Troxell, Keith Flieger, Joyce Wise, Frank Hunter, Tom Martin, Luis Dehart, Veronica Young, Mark Borges, Dave Epler, Zane Ferguson, and Terrence Cummings. I think Mr. Epler has been here for 24 years. And I forget, Caleb, how many chairs would that be set up? Over 500,000 chairs he was responsible for setting up in his tenure. I mean, that's pretty cool. And Curtis Klodnicki, thank you for locking up our facility every night. To the 148 volunteers who serve with Pastor Ken and his team, thank you for giving of your time, your talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Pastor Mike Swiger, who's been here 10 years, also made a big transition to worship pastor this past year. Our worship department is loaded with talent. I don't have to tell you that. Serving with Pastor Mike is Holly Mestock, who serves as our worship development director, and Amanda Brocious, who serves as our worship administrative director. Together, they do an incredible job of leading us in worship each week at our Milton and Sunbury campuses. Also serving in our worship department is Brent Mestock. He serves as our creative director of graphics and broadcasts, and he and his team of volunteers have helped us reach 45 states and 17 countries this past year. There's 45 states watching, 17 countries watching right now. Thank you for making that available and serving. Pastor Mike also oversees our incredible marriage ministry that consists of our Mr. and Mrs., our Seriously Dating or Engaged classes. To the 334 volunteers who serve with Pastor Mike and his team, thank you for giving of your time, talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. Pastor Emer Ramirez of 11 years here with us. Time flies. He leads our Hispanic ministries along with his wife, Pastor Alma Janet Ramirez. Janet will actually be ordained in the Wesleyan Church this June, and she serves alongside Pastor Emer as our volunteer pastor. We congratulate you, Pastor Janet. I don't know if you're here or watching, but congratulations. Pastor Emer, he runs a radio program, not a lot of people know this, called Sharing the Light, that reached over 13,000 people this past year, his radio station. I think that's really amazing. As to the volunteers who serve with Pastor Emer and his team, thank you for giving of your time, talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Pastor Eddie Wachowski, celebrating 3 years with us already, serves as our energetic and optimistic youth pastor. He serves with the calm, cool, and collected, I like to call her, Mia Harrington, who served for 2 years, and she was actually here for a couple years in our residency program. She serves as our youth director. We also added Zane Ferguson to the youth team. Zane volunteers down at our Sunbury campus. And in an ever increasingly difficult time to be in youth ministry, our youth team serves with excellence and skill and grace and love. They saw 14 spiritual decisions for Christ this past year. I think that's pretty cool. We're going to praise God along with them. Yeah. So to the 35 volunteers who serve with Pastor Eddie and Mia and their team, thank you for giving of your time, talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Pastor Mandy Rhodes, you heard from her last week. She's celebrating 11 years here. She serves as our energetic and fun children's ministry pastor. She serves with the dedicated and capable help of Bryn Rhodes, who serves as our Sunday morning coordinator, and Amanda Lebo, who served as our Wednesday night coordinator. And joining the kids team this year is our Sunbury Kids director, Amber Ferguson, our coordinator down there. I'm always amazed at the incredible organization when I get to go up and spend time with our kids program and see the volunteers and our team at work. It's just incredible. So to the 49 volunteers who serve with Pastor Mandy and her team, thank you for giving your time, your talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Pastor Kyle Roberts, serving 1 year here, he serves as our young, but what I like to say, he has an old soul. He's our youngest. I think he was born in the late 90s, which is nuts. But he's an old soul, spiritual formation and young adult pastor. That's how he serves. Pastor Kyle works with an incredible intentionality to provide great groups culture here at Christ Wesleyan. Our goal is to have a church of small groups rather than a church with small groups. And it is a great goal. To the many who volunteer with Pastor Kyle and his team, thank you for giving your time, talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Pastor Caleb Schwartz, who also had a transition this year to our counseling ministries pastor. Sharon Davis retired after 25 years with Meadowbrook and with CWC. She now serves as our part-time counselor. So thank you, Sharon, for staying on part-time. Pastor Caleb and Sharon do an incredible job ministering to our people and our community. And to the 12 volunteers who help serve with Pastor Caleb and Sharon, thank you for giving your time, your talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Pastor Billy Roble, I like to call him our million words a minute pastor. He serves with his wife, Shawnee, at our newly launched Recovery Church Ministry located at our Sunbury campus. And he is the Sunbury campus pastor here today. So thank you, Billy. On average, the Recovery Church Ministry sees 70 to 80 people every week. And that's just growing from the time of this report. We're praising God with you, Pastor Billy and Shawnee. Pastor Billy also preaches weekly at the Gaudenzia Treatment Center in Shamokin. And between Gaudenzia and our Recovery Church, there were 90 first-time decisions for Jesus and 50 rededications. Yes. So to the 50 volunteers who serve with Pastor Billy and Shawnee and their team, thank you for giving your time, talents, and resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And Kristen Devlin, who served 3 years as our Meadowbrook Christian School. She's now the superintendent of Meadowbrook. She and her incredible team of administrators and teachers reached 400 students this past year. They were able to see 39 salvations as a part of this year as well. So Meadowbrook, we're celebrating with you 39 salvations. So to the many volunteers and staff who serve with Kristen and her team, thank you for giving your time, your talents, your resources. You are helping to build the kingdom. And I oversee our lead pastor department. It consists of the executive pastoral team, Pastor Ken and Pastor Ryan serve on that. Our newly appointed teaching team, Pastor Ken, Pastor Ryan, and Pastor Mike. Haven't you loved hearing from our pastors, a part of our teaching team this year? Thank you, teaching team. I also oversee our global missions ministries, the Well Ministries, film and storytelling and outreach. Chad made the transition this year, Chad Heisey, to global ministries director. As Shirley Holman, Shirley served for 28 years here at Christ Wesleyan. She decided to retire from that position, but she still serves part-time as our child sponsorship coordinator. Stay tuned as we're about to start up missions trips again. We're just getting the dates finalized, so please stay tuned for that. I know some of you are excited. And I'm grateful for Holly Mestock, who serves also as our outreach director. We gave an incredible record-breaking $47,519.35 away to our local Christmas Blessing Project. So that's 1 month, our Christmas Blessing Project. It's incredible what you've done as a congregation. Cameron Ettinger serves as our creative director in film storytelling. Cameron's work is displayed many times on our screens as he creates some incredible bumpers and videos. The Well Coffee House is directed by Kyle Unchbaugh and consists of Ryan Torrey as our Well Fit director, Jonna Heisey as our Well Coffee House assistant director, and Priscilla Tyler in our Well-Read bookstore. As a result of this team, they were able to see 36 salvations this past year. That's pretty incredible for our phase one initiative. Praise God. To the many volunteers and the team members who serve in the lead pastor department, I just thank you for giving your time, talents, and resources. You are making a difference for the kingdom. I also want to thank Loretta Paul Hamas. She's been with us for 22 years. She served as Pastor Arley's administrative assistant, and she decided to stick around for me this past year, and I just thank her. She oversees our incredible receptionists and secretaries this past year, but our receptionist team consists of Carrie Moscarello. You heard she serves part-time for us, but also Wendy Brocious, Judy Criswell, Marianne Paul, and Trisha Paul Hamas. Our hardworking secretary team consists of Kathy Klodnicki, who just retired after 9 years this past year, Chris Reichert, Becky Klinger, Crystal Swope, and Lori Schramp. I think I can speak for all the pastors and directors when I say, ladies, you make our job so much easier than it could be. So we thank you for being excellent. I want to end by thanking my wife of almost 9 years on June 1st. Nikki, thank you for allowing God to speak to you as this transitional call to being lead pastor involved and will always involve the both of us. God does not call just one spouse to his will. He calls both. Thank you for your support and allowing God to use you and your love. And thank you for being beautiful inside and out. I love you. And I love you, Christ Wesleyan. I'm so excited to see what God did through this incredible ministry this past year through you as a church. And while I'm excited about what he did, I'm more excited about what we're going to do as a church. You're going to learn about me. I am rarely ever satisfied. While I can celebrate, and we celebrate this morning, we're celebrating tonight, I also want to look forward and build on the excellence of this past year. So Christ Wesleyan, here's to an incredible 2022-2023 fiscal year. God bless you as we spread the many ways that God works throughout our world through you and to be the light of Jesus. I want us to all stand. I want us to do something because, like I said, I believe perspective is really important. And we sang a song earlier called, Oh Come to the Altar. And really, sure, it's for us. But when we sing, oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. See, that is not just a message for us, church. That's a message for everybody. The people who aren't here, the people who don't believe in God, that's for them too. And so as we sing that song to close, we sing that not only to help us to come to the altar every single day where we sacrifice and die for ourselves. We want to tell the world, you can come too, because the Father's arms are open wide. So let's sing this together. You can come up to the altar if you want. You can close your eyes. But I just want this to be a declaration as we go into this next year.